Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Podcast. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice. Our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. Oh, I have a great program for you today. On the podcast this week, we are going to be talking about the power of persistence. Oh yeah, persistence. It's very powerful. And what we are going to talk about here is how critical it is to achieving all the success that you're hoping to achieve. No matter what you're trying to do, whether it is changing your behavior to be healthier, or to improve your relationships, or to succeed in work, or maybe get a promotion or move forward, the key, and I hope that you'll see it, the key here to any kind of success in our life is persistence. Sometimes we forget about it, and we're human, and we let it fall by the wayside, but we're going to be talking about it, how to look at it, to persevere forward to achieving our dreams. So this week on The Healthy Mind, the power of persistence. In news, a busy week of health news, some interesting new news on the relationship between anger and depression. Latest data on this. You're going to want to stick around to hear this. And remember how they've always said that the key to influencing people or persuading them is maintaining good eye contact, right? Lock on in. Well, a new study has found that maintaining eye contact may not be the best thing in the world if you're trying to persuade someone of something. So it's a really fascinating study. We're going to do some headlines, and heck, we got ourselves a pretty good podcast. I am really happy that you are here. So are you ready? Let's begin. Okay, well, this week on the podcast, I really wanted to talk about the power of persistence. And as is typical on the podcast, this particular topic really came to mind out of some of the interaction that I had in my sessions this week. People were making a lot of progress and really feeling good about themselves. And oftentimes, and I'm sure you can relate, it seems like we take these big jumps forward, or we finally cross this threshold where we succeed, no matter what it is. Maybe losing weight, or that better job, or something that we've done at school, or maybe a relationship has gotten better. And we think that it happens just like that. But the key here to all of the success that we are looking for, personal, professional, relationship success, really is the time that we put into it. You know, a lot of times people will come in and we're doing our therapy and people get tired, they get frustrated, they don't know if anything is making a difference. They feel like we're spinning our wheels. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that is happening. And it's really important when people tell me that they're feeling kind of stuck in our therapy. But often, and I think it relates to life in general, There's a lot of heavy lifting, of progress, of work that we've got to put in to something so it can succeed. A lot of times what I'll do is give the analogy of moving into a new house. We've all been there, right? Oh man, we pack everything together, get it in the truck, and then everything gets dumped into the new house or the new apartment. And now we got to unpack it. And it takes time, right? It takes a lot of time. You've got boxes everywhere in every room. And when you first start unpacking, it can seem like you're working for hours and hours at a time, days at a time. You finish up, you can't find the pots or the silverware, so you order a pizza and you sit there and you look around, and it doesn't look like you've made any headway. But you keep going, right? You keep going. You've got to unpack everything to get it in the right place. You've got to keep going until it looks like a home. So you put in the time and you keep unpacking and you keep unpacking. And then it seems like in those last 1 or 2 days or 4 or 5 hours of unpacking and putting everything away, the house starts to come together. The apartment starts to come together. Heck, this really looks like a place that I would live in. We can all relate to that. We've all been there. Kind of that sensation of, wow, we've turned the corner. We're actually moved in. Well, there's a big analogy there, and I use that a lot in my sessions, particularly for therapy, but I really think that that applies to the power of persistence towards anything we're trying to achieve. We've got to put in the time. And at times, no matter what goal we are trying to achieve, success that we are trying to bring to ourselves, I know we feel like, what the heck's going on? I don't understand. I'm putting in all this effort. Is it really going to pay off? What is this all about? But that's your mind playing tricks on you. You don't doubt yourself. You keep going. Just like when you're unpacking those boxes at home, when you've moved in somewhere, you're not going to stop and just leave everything a mess. You keep going. And even though it feels like there's been very little progress because boxes are everywhere, despite the fact that you've been unpacking, say, for 10 or 12 hours straight, you know at some point it is going to be done. This is the power of persistence. We can't give in to our insecurities and our doubts and our fears, because the biggest difference between those who achieve success in their lives and those that don't is persistence. I've talked about that here before on the podcast many times. Persistence, resilience is even more important than intelligence, period. Don't doubt yourself. Don't feel that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you don't deserve the success and happiness, no matter what it is, whether it's at work or in your personal relationships or in your own personal health. Keep going. Keep going, whether it's exercise or therapy or a project at work or at school. Keep going. Persistence is the key. You've got the intelligence and you've got the strength. The only thing that holds you back, heck, that holds all of us back, is our own fear and self-doubt. But remember, all of us feel that. Just don't give into it, because those that succeed don't give into it. And when you start to see those boxes unpacked and everything put away, no matter what it is that you are striving towards, and you can see that success coming, payoff of all that hard work that you've done, it's always worth it. And you can do it. You can do it. Stay in the moment. Figure out what has to be done today and do it. And then get back up and do it again and again and again and again. Because like those boxes, the last of the stuff that you've got to put away in that new home will come. And when you do, success is yours. That is the secret to success. Persistence. It's an incredible power. And only our doubt and insecurity will get in its way. Once you can get over that, nothing is impossible. You'll see. And when you do, you have taken such a huge step as you walk down your road to the healthy mind. And now it's time for news. Okay, wow, a busy week of news. This first story, which I think is really important because, as many of you know, unless you're new to the podcast, if you are, thank you so much for joining us. But I'm a psychiatrist, and in my regular day, I see a lot of depression, people who suffer with sadness, depression, and anxiety. And as we've traditionally understood depression, there's a very close connection with anger. Maybe some of you have heard, just kind of colloquially, that depression is anger turned inwards. Well, a new study out of the University of California at San Diego has found that depression accompanied by anger and irritability can actually lead to a worse prognosis in a person's depression and a lower quality of life. The headline, "Can Anger Worsen My Depression?" Now, the researchers found that people whose depression is accompanied by irritability and anger have a worse prognosis than people who don't have anger and irritability but may suffer from depression. A pretty large study, too. Over 500 people with depression, half of whom had irritability and anger and the other half who didn't. For an average of 16 years, they had depression, and they compared the outcomes based on just those two factors, anger and irritability. And what they found was that the irritability group, the anger group, took a significantly longer time to recover from depression than the depression-only group. Other things that the researchers found was that when irritability is a large part of the depression, the people with irritability were more likely to, number one, have depressive symptoms or other depressive episodes. Number two, had accompanying anxiety disorders or substance abuse disorders. Number three, had difficulties with their partners or trouble performing at work or at school. And number four, experienced a lower quality of life. Now, according to the lead researcher, Dr. Lewis Judge, he states, quote, "It's important for clinicians to identify overt irritability and anger in patients who experience a major depressive episode, because such symptoms are a clinical marker for significantly more complex, chronic, and severe forms of major depression." End of quotes. Anger is very powerful. We talk about it a lot here on The Healthy Mind, particularly as it relates to physical symptoms and pain, how emotions like anger can really churn and burn within us and come out as physical pain. But anger and irritability are part of depression, and at least from this study from the University of California at San Diego, having anger as part of your depression can really lead to a worse quality of life. Okay, now, you know the old adage, right? If you want to engage someone, influence them, persuade them, make sure that you're heard, have good eye contact. The more you look at them and make that connection, the better able you are going to be in influencing them, right? Eye contact is important. It's critical, right? No, it's not. It's not. The headline, "Tools of Persuasion, Direct Eye Contact Can Backfire on You." Researchers have found that the more time people spend looking at a speaker's eyes, the less persuaded they are by the speaker's argument. Fascinating, fascinating new research from a professor who's now at the University of British Columbia. We've always thought that eye contact is really effective in bringing a person into hearing what you say and bringing them around to your point of view. But it turns out that, at least in this study, more eye contact led other people to be more resistant to your persuasion, especially, of course, if they disagree with your point of view. So you're looking at them in the eye. They don't agree with what you have to say. You're thinking you're connecting. They're just digging in their heels. According to one of the lead authors, Dr. Francis Chen of the University of British Columbia, quote, "There is a lot of cultural lore about the power of eye contact as an influence tool, but our findings show that direct eye contact makes skeptical listeners less likely to change their minds, not more, as we previously believed." End of quotes. In the study that they did, the more time that the participants spent looking at the speaker's eyes, the less they were influenced by what they had to say, especially if these issues were controversial. They actually dug in their heels more the more eye contact there was. Now, there were people who were influenced by spending more time looking at the speaker's eyes, but these were the people who already believed in what the person had to say. They had the same ideas and the same beliefs. Well, they were more likely to be influenced when they were looking at someone's eyes. But if it's a controversial issue and you're on the other side of the fence, you may not want to make eye contact. What they found was that it wasn't the eyes that made the difference, but the mouth. How about that? It's the mouth, not the eyes. And what the results found was that the participants who looked at the speaker's eyes were less receptive, but looking at the mouth, it brought them along. But why? Why is this happening? What does it matter, eyes versus mouth? Well, according to one of the co-lead researchers from Harvard, Dr. Julia Minson, she thinks that the findings highlight the fact that eye contact can signal a whole bunch of different messages depending on the situation. While in certain circumstances, eye contact can be a sign of connection or trust in friendly situations, it's more likely to be associated with intimidation or dominance in adversarial situations. So that's why if you're on the same page looking at a person's eyes, you're influenced. If you are on opposite sides, you may feel intimidated. So when you're looking at them, you're digging in your own heels against what the person is saying. According to Dr. Minson, quote, "Whether you're a politician or a parent, it might be helpful to keep in mind that trying to maintain eye contact may backfire if you're trying to convince someone who has a different set of beliefs than you." End of quotes. So parents, listen up. You want to get your kids to bed tonight? You want them to turn off that TV or get in the bath? Don't look at them. Don't lock in on their eyes. You might want to cover them. I might do that myself, is just cover my eyes. They've got to focus on your mouth. If you lock in on their eyes, it may just end up backfiring on you. Outstanding. Okay, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the rest of the news in a segment I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline. Depression may increase your risk of Parkinson's disease. Researchers out of Taiwan have found that people who are depressed may have triple the risk of developing Parkinson's disease, according to the latest pretty large-scale study that is out. And it suggests that depression may very well be an independent risk factor for Parkinson's disease. The next headline. Now, you hear that real quick talking at the beginning or at the end of the drug commercials, right? They tell you, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. You're going to have bad constipation, you're going to have bad diarrhea, right? Might turn you off, right? No. the headline. Warning of potential side effects of a product can increase its sales. Drug ads often warn of serious side effects, from nausea and bleeding to blindness and even death. New research suggests, though, that rather than scaring consumers away, these warnings can improve consumers' opinions and increase product sales when there is a delay between seeing the ad and deciding to buy or consume the product. And finally, this one is just lovely. The headline, marriage is associated with better cancer outcomes. People who are married when diagnosed with cancer live longer than those who are not, say researchers from Brigham and Women's Hospital. Married patients also tended to have cancers diagnosed at an earlier age, when it is often more successfully treated, and they receive more appropriate treatment. The findings suggest that the availability of social support when facing a serious illness may improve outcomes. You hear that, honey? Marrying me can lower your risk of cancer. You may have a stroke living with me, but fascinating, the mind-body connection. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that just about does it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for signing up for the newsletter. You can do that right there on the homepage. Just drop me your email and I'll get that off to you. Thank you for listening on iTunes as well and rating the podcast. If you haven't done so, I would really love it. It makes all the difference in the world for the healthy mind. You can follow me on Twitter too. I tweet at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions, comments, anything, I want to hear from you. Email me anytime, peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.